to know why I sometimes start my messages by telling corny jokes? Thank you, Fed. Well, to wake you up. Well, that's pardon me? Pardon me?
Because it says, the Bible says, in this life you'll have
my Yes. Yes, it's because humor is good for us. It helps me relax, and it helps you relax and be in a good mood and listen to the message. And anyway, so I love kids' sayings. Those are some of my favorite corny jokes. So there was this 5-year-old little girl, and she had a pastor dad. And she noticed that every time he was about to give a sermon, he would bow his head. So one day she said to him, "Papa," she said, "how come every time you're going to give a sermon, you bow your head?" And the pastor dad, who was very proud of his precocious and very smart 5-year-old girl, said to him, "Well," he says, "I bow my head because I want to pray to ask God to give me a really good message." And she said, "Then why doesn't he do it?" I thought that was a cute one. Then another good one was about little Johnny, but I'll say little Dave, because this could have happened at my family. Little Dave was sitting at the table having dinner at Grandma's house. And when the plates were filled and he got his plate, he began eating right away. And so Mom says to little Davey, Mom says, "Well, stop. You can't start eating. We haven't prayed yet." She says, "At our house, we always pray before we eat." And little Davey says, "Yeah, that's at our house. But here, at this house, Grandma knows how to cook." Oh, bless God. Okay. So I'm going to start. My message today is called Transformed by Gratitude, which is not a cliche. It's really not a cliche. It's actually backed by science and psychology, and more importantly, the Bible, which clearly shows, for anyone who really reads and studies the Word of God, that gratitude is not a cliche. It's actually a force. It's a virtue. It's a force. It's a thing that definitely transforms people's lives. It's not something that you just naturally are born with. It's something that you cultivate, that you're taught, and that you're taught by God, and that you learn. And so we'll see just this morning in the next few minutes how we are transformed by gratitude. I want to start with a story that I came across that says, this person says, "Several weeks ago, a dear friend sent me this story to encourage. Two old friends met each other on the street one day. One looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears, and his friend asked, 'What has the world done to you, my friend?' The sad fellow said, 'Let me tell you, 3 weeks ago my uncle died and left me $40,000. "Well, that's a lot of money." "Yeah, but you see, 2 weeks ago a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000, free and clear." "Sounds to me like you've been really blessed, the friend said. "You don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away. I inherited almost $250,000 from her." Now the man's friend was really quite puzzled and confused, and he says, "Why do you look so glum?" And the friend answered, anybody guess?
"I didn't get nothing this week."
Exactly. This week, nothing. So he was not happy. The point of this, he says, is that we have a problem when something is given to us on a regular basis. Even if it is a gift, we eventually come to expect it. The natural tendency is that if we receive a gift long enough, we come to view it as almost an entitlement. We feel hurt and even angry if we don't receive it any longer. It's the same way with the blessings God gives us every day. I don't deserve my comfortable home that I live in, or the beautiful scenery around me, the clean water I drink. But after receiving these gifts and a multitude of others for years, I sometimes fail to be grateful. I've come to expect these good things, and when one of them is removed for a short time, like water or electricity or the internet goes down, I get upset. Let's make an effort today to recognize the blessing we've come to take for granted. Focus on what we have rather than what we don't have, and see if it doesn't improve our attitude." Good point. So So the foundational scripture for my message is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, "Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And the "in Christ Jesus" part is really important. It is the most important because Jesus Christ is the point. He is the point of all circumstances. He is the Lord of all circumstances. He is the God of all circumstances. And the other night, Faithy taught us, the young people, this great message that she really well articulated about one of the reasons we can be eternally grateful through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. And she talked about Hebrews 10:14, which says, "By one sacrifice," we sang about it this morning, the blood of Jesus, the cross, "by one sacrifice, God made perfect forever those who are being made holy." How does that work? It sounds like a contradiction. How can you be perfect and be made holy, be being made holy at the same time? Well, we can't fathom it, but it's because of who Jesus is. It's who God is. It is by one sacrifice, you and I were made perfect forever as we're being made holy. What does that mean? It means every sin you ever committed, past, present, and future, is already dealt with, already forgiven. You are not and any longer living in the merit system. But we live in a culture that is living in the merit system, and we do it to ourselves every day. We make judgments about people for all different kinds of reasons, and we make judgments about ourselves based on the merit system, based on performance. When the gospel of grace says, by one sacrifice you've been made perfect forever, while you're being made holy. And you're never going to look any more perfect to God, because when He looks at you, He sees you perfect in Christ. That is why it says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. So I'm as clean and pure in God's eyes as I'm ever going to be. If that isn't enough for us to give thanks, then we need the Holy Spirit to literally knock us over the head and show us how important, how much of a precious gift our salvation really is. When the Holy Spirit can penetrate this truth to the depths of our soul, we will be different and people will see and know who Jesus is. The devil, Pastor John's right, the devil does everything he can to return us to the merit system, to always try to make us feel like we don't measure up. So why bother trying? How many have ever been there? I don't measure up as a Christian, so I'll just sort of cruise along because, and hope God will accept me in the end, because I can't do it anyway. Amen? But that's the point. So when the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, so this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we can give thanks in all circumstances. It sounds impossible. I am not prone to do that. I am not prone in certain circumstances to that my go-to response is to give thanks. And I want to be that kind of person. Sometimes, yes, but many times, no. It's not easy. It's not easy to give thanks when there is a circumstance in your life that is very painful. It's not easy. It's not that we're not even willing. It's just that sometimes we don't even think about it because we're so bogged down by the problem or we're so bogged down by the hurt. And we don't recognize it. But like I was saying to you, science, the Bible, and psychology have all proven and backed up the fact that when we are truly grateful, when we are truly grateful and not just on the outside performing, but truly grateful from the heart, our lives change and even circumstances change as well. You know, in the 90s, it was pop psychology. You know, everything was about, like, the Oprah days. It was all about why it's good for you to be, you know, grateful, why it's good for you to be thankful. And one guy commented, called it gratitude light. You know, like soda light, you know, light Coke and all that. Gratitude light. What he was saying was that, you know, we have this funny way of turning everything into it's about me. So, you know, the titles in the books would be, you know, learn to be grateful so you can have a better life. Learn to be grateful, you know, so you can feel good about yourself or be happy. But the Bible says learn to be grateful to honor God because of what God has done and who Jesus is. It is much more than just a how-to to have a good life. It is a virtue. It is a force. It is something God wants to become part of our very bloodstream, part of our very heart, that our attitude in life is grateful, that where we're in pain, we still have the Spirit of God that says, Lord, I am going to praise you. And you know something? When we gather together and we're called to praise God, if you're not having a good day, he calls it a sacrifice of praise. Anyone can thank God when everything's perfect. Even an unbeliever out there on the news will say, God this and God that, and thank God that guy scored in the hockey game and all that. I'm not talking about that. When you're in pain and you can praise God, you've had a breakthrough already. You've already had a breakthrough if you can praise God when you're in pain. Amen? It's true. And so, so I want to read to you just briefly what, I mean, how do you describe gratitude? How do you define gratitude? But I'm going to make a bit of an effort here to share some thoughts. Some great writers call it the moral memory of mankind. The moral, it's the memory of the heart. It's remembering. That's why continuously in the Bible you'll see the scriptures say, remember what God has done. Remember what God did. In our society, we're prone to throw out the baby with the bathwater. What do I mean by that? We get so bogged down with negatives, we forget the positives. Somebody does something to offend you, and every good thing they've ever done in their entire life is out the window because now you're focused on that one negative thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, it's important for us to recognize that we need to remember the good things. To recognize the source of all of our blessings is God. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do when you're the guy that's done the work, when you're the girl that's done the work. You've gone to university. You've studied hard, right, Paul? You've put in effort. You put in hours. You went for your driving test. It's easy to come to the conclusion that I've just got all these great abilities. And maybe you do, but you didn't produce them. You didn't create them. You didn't make them. Jesus did. God did. And that's why we need to be grateful no matter what talents we possess. We didn't make them, right? So when we recognize the source of all of our blessings is God. Here's another one. Paul said, I always love that in Philippians, I give thanks upon every remembrance of you. Recognizing, having humility to recognize that other people have played a role in the goodness of your life. Other people have played a role. All different kinds of people. Someone who interviewed you and gave you a job. Maybe a boss who promoted you or said you were doing well. Or a friend who helped you get into the government. Or you know what I'm trying to say. Well, there's all kinds. Our parents, our brothers and sisters, our family. Of course they support us. But many other people have played a role in the good things we have in life, right? So that's another point of gratitude. It's the desire to give back and to not be selfish, to be generous, and to appreciate the value of something. And so there are benefits, and it's okay for us to want the benefits of being grateful. It's okay for us to have the motives of having a better life, so long as that is within the context of giving glory to God. And so I'll just outline briefly a few of the scientifically backed up proofs of what gratitude will do in your life, and then I will go on to a more profound benefit, but let's start with some of these ones. Scientifically, number one, gratitude allows you to live in the moment and enjoy the power of the moment. In gratitude, we can stop agonizing over the past and we can stop fretting over the future. Here's a wonderful quote that I read. Somebody said this. I love optimists. Somebody said, well, this is a wonderful day. I've never seen this one before. God, I love that. This is a wonderful day. I've never seen this one before. When we're grateful, we can live in the moment. We can appreciate a small, tiny moment. I've had that happen to me many times, and I'm grateful for it, that little things, small things, can make us happy. The smile of a child, or the beauty of a song, or a scenery, or anything. But we've really got to cultivate the gratitude that allows us to live in the moment, enjoy it. Secondly, it does improve our happiness. Have you ever met too many people who are very ungrateful that are also very happy? No, not usually. Number three, gratitude attracts people. Gratitude is a very attractive quality to have. And it made me think about my job culture. I don't know why this is in my workplace. I'm not sure, but it really made me think about this. I find the nurses I work with, male and female, on my shifts anyway, have this constant habit of saying thank you to one another for a good shift. You know, often, very often, almost all the time, as I'm preparing to leave, sometimes I'm the 11 o'clock nurse and there's another nurse who's staying till 11:30. And the one that's staying will say to the two of us that are leaving, thanks guys so much for a good shift. I mean, that's a culture of gratitude. And I'm not really sure why it's there. Sometimes they'll say, even if we have like a really awful shift. A few weeks ago I had a Friday night that was just like an awful, awful shift. And even still, at the end of my shift, the nurses said, or I said to the nurses, but they'll often say it to me too, thank you so much for all your help in that crisis. And I just find there's a culture of thanksgiving and appreciation. And when we have that for one another, it's very attractive. People are attracted to you if you have a grateful attitude, because we all need appreciation. We all need to be appreciated at times. All right, what else? Benefits. Oh, well, you're healthier. Proven scientifically, you will handle stress better. You will recover better from illness if you have a grateful attitude. And you will have overall better health. A really good one, number five, is an increased brain function. When a scientist did an 8-week study on this idea of being grateful, gratitude, they had people who were practicing gratitude every day for 8 weeks and those who weren't. The ones who were had a change in their brain function, their brain stem cell function, which increased their social awareness, their people skills and empathy, and it lit up the reward center of the brain where the other ones did not have that happen to their brain. So even your brain is affected by developing a grateful heart. Apart from all of this, from a godly perspective, gratitude is an awesome force. Gratitude will fuel your faith like nothing else. If your car is the faith, your gratitude is the gas. When you practice gratitude, it's like pulling up to the gas station and filling your car with gas. So it's so obvious. People who are unthankful and not grateful are not operating in faith in God. Now, we all have our days when we're not grateful. The whole point is to motivate us. This whole point of this message is to motivate us to cooperate with God in developing a grateful, thankful attitude in all circumstances, recognizing who Jesus is, so that we can come to our prayers for whatever circumstance we're in, and we can thank God in advance because we know He hears and answers our prayers, and we know Jesus Christ is the point of everything we're allowed to go through. Amen. The most profound point of it all is this. Gratitude affects every single one of our relationships. And society is made up of a network of relationships. Starting from the Prime Minister right down to whoever's sitting beside you this morning, we live within a network of relationships. And when those relationships break down, well, we know what happens. We see what happens. We see it in the news every day. We see the outcome. When people are ungrateful, people are unhappy. You cannot relate well to God or others without having gratitude in your heart, and the degree of gratitude will determine the degree of your healthy relationships. Ungrateful people, though, tend to be proud and entitled and never have enough, and they're hard to get along. You know, we live in a culture that's got a lot of addiction. We're really addicted. This thing I read to you was somewhat exaggerated. You know, somebody gives you $40,000, then they give you $85,000, then they give you $250,000, and the next week you're all slumped out because you didn't get anything that week. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but it makes the point. We live in a society where we have so much that it's never enough. And we always, even if you don't have material possessions, there's still something you may want more of. You know, it's always more. We want more because in order to feel high in life, we need more of whatever it is that makes us feel good, be it food, be it the internet, be it entertainment, be it sex, be it whatever it might be, being attention, wanting attention, self-pity, you know, wanting more internet time. There's tons of things that we as a society are addicted to because we haven't learned to be grateful for the things in life sometimes that matter the most. So in society, when people are unhappy, when they're unhappy, they hurt people. And so when relationships break down in society, the very worst kind of evil can occur. We're talking about Adolf Hitlers and people like that who are beyond ungrateful to the point where they're demonized. We have people now like ISIS that are so full of hatred, they've lost perspective on life to the point where the devil's got a hold of them and they're killing people. Okay? So when we are not grateful people, when we don't have a thankful attitude, then everything breaks down. But think of the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is a society within itself. The church is the society, you could say, of the kingdom of God. Okay? Ungrateful, unhappy people in the church hurt people. Don't they? Ungrateful and unhappy people in the church hurt people, and then the church breaks down, and then we wonder why people aren't saying, I want what you've got. Right? I want to look at Acts chapter 2, because this is the church, and this is what we look like when we allow gratitude to change our hearts. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had a need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These people were transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the gratitude for being born anew. They were newborn people, newborn people in that the Spirit of God came to live. They were responders of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gospel changed them because they were so grateful for what they'd been given. And what was the outcome of that? What was the fruit of that? Well, the fruit of that was that they were devoted. They were devoted. They didn't just put up with teaching. They didn't just dutifully attend the fellowship. They didn't just break bread together because you're supposed to. They were devoted. Devoted to these things. They were in awe. When's the last time we were in awe over anything God did? God healed Carol of cancer. That's enough to be in awe about, isn't it? We need to remind ourselves the reasons why we should be in awe. The sun came up this morning and we're still here and we're not dead. It says they were together. Oh my God, if I could just get that point across to myself, to you, the body of Christ, if we could understand that our Blankety-blank division is causing all the problems in the church. We can be together no matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what has happened. We can be in unity. Do you think these people didn't fight? Do you think they didn't offend each other and get hurt? Of course they did. But the gospel prevailed. The power of the Holy Spirit prevailed. The love of Jesus was greater than all of their offenses put together. Sadly, it didn't last, and so over the years, the church has gone through multiple revivals to get it back. But initially, this is what it looks like when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? They were together. They were generous, and they were consistent. It says they were consistent. Every day they continue to meet together. So therefore, you're really blessed because you don't have to do it every day, just once a week, maybe twice. But they did it every single day. Amen? They were consistent, they were joyful, and most of all, they were thankful. And the kingdom spread. The lives changed. Lives changed. When lives change, your inside is different than it used to be. I want to read you this little story called The Wise Woman. Now listen. A wise woman who was traveling to the mountains found a precious stone in a stream. The next day she met another traveler who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. The hungry traveler saw the precious stone and asked the woman to give it to him. She did so without hesitation. The traveler left rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew the stone was worth enough to give him security, forever made perfect, security for a lifetime. But a few days later, he came back to return the stone to the wise woman. "I've been thinking," he said. "I know how valuable the stone is, but I give it back in the hope that you can give me something even more precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me something this precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me this stone." So, how do we do it? Well, one thing you can do is there's many things you can do. I read this. This was really interesting. Start a gratitude journal and practice it every day. Because those people for 8 weeks, think about this, those people for 8 weeks had different brain chemistry. If their brain chemistry changed, that means it changed their health, it changed their outlook, it changed their faith, it changed their relationships, it changed everything. Start a gratitude journal and write in it as often as you can. And here was the advice that I read. Don't write things like, "Well, thank you, God, for all my blessings, my good food, my nice clothes, my good job, my family. Amen." No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. It won't last. It won't take root. Be specific. "Thank you, God, for my husband, because he's strong in faith. Because he's an excellent Bible teacher. Because he loves his family. Because he's fantastic in a crisis. He's your go-to guy if you're in a crisis. Because. Specific reasons. Philippians tells us, the Bible is the smartest book you're ever going to read in your whole life ever. Philippians tells us very clearly, you're familiar, but in this context, I think it'll help to just read it again. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything..." Philippians, I'm in Philippians 4, verse 8 to 10, I guess. "If there's anything praiseworthy, if anything is excellent..." Okay, if anything is excellent, or if anything is praiseworthy, if you can find anything about that person, or anything in that circumstance, or anything in that situation to think positively about, here's how you do it. Here's how you have a gratitude journal. That's how. God's not kidding when he says what he says. Whatever, if there's anything excellent, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, and I can say that to you today, this message will help you if you want it to. If you want it to help you, if I want it to help me, it did me so much good. And I actually asked my husband if I could do it because I said, right now, I need this lesson. Right now, I'm struggling with some things that I need to have a revelation of this right now. So he blessed me and God blessed me and he gave me this message and I'm so blessed because I know God's right. I know he's right. It's not natural to thank God in all circumstances. It's supernatural. But if we'll start a gratitude journal, if we'll start a gratitude habit from the heart, if we will think about, you know, let's face it, what do we think about? Well, we watch the news. There's none of that in here. Most people want to talk about negative stuff. There's none of that in here either. You know what I'm saying? And so the Bible is telling us exactly how we can go about developing a grateful heart. That's about it. I'm sure there are other things. The internet is a really good resource. If you want to find out good messages on the whole subject of gratitude. And, you know, some people just say, well, I'm just naturally, you know, I'm the half-empty glass person. No, you're not. You know, I always, people said to me, I was an optimist, and I am. But being an optimist or being a pessimist isn't really the point, because even as an optimist, sometimes I was optimistic about things I was not being realistic. So it isn't a matter of being an optimist or a pessimist. It's a matter of being Christ-like. It's a matter that everybody can have this. Everybody can be grateful from the heart. It becomes part of who you are. It becomes natural to be grateful in all circumstances, but we have to cultivate it with God's help. Amen? So Lord, we thank you this morning that this day